This Mother Christian Radio with our global news report. Israel is bound to repay every Houthi attack after it struck the Yemen capital of Sana'a. At the same time, Israel is gearing up for its major offensive in Gaza City, hoping to free the hostages and finish Hamas. The Israeli Defense Forces struck Houthi military targets following a ballistic missile launch that set off sirens in many parts of Israel. Israeli airstrikes targeted a military base in which Yemen's presidential palace is located, along with two power plants and a fuel depot. Yemen sources say six people were killed. "Whoever attacks us, we attack them," Netanyahu declared. "Whoever plans to attack us, we attack them. I think the entire region is learning Israel's might and determination." The strike came in response to a Houthi-launched ballistic missile that had a cluster bomb warhead, which carries multiple smaller bomblets that scatter over a wider area, making it harder to defend against and more dangerous to civilians. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz stated, "We continue to impose an air and naval blockade and are striking infrastructure targets that are used to promote Houthi terrorism. For every missile they launch at Israel, the Houthis will pay with interest." Katz went on even further, listening to Israel's response to the plagues in Egypt, as described in the book of Exodus. "Today we brought a plague of darkness on the Houthis," Katz warned, "and later there will also be a plague of the death of the firstborns." Earlier, Katz had cautioned that the gates of hell will soon open over Hamas murderers and rapists in Gaza until they agree to Israel's condition for ending the war, primarily the release of all hostages and their disarmament. Hostage families and others are pushing the Netanyahu government to make a deal and get their loved ones back. However, over the weekend, the IDF began bombing the eastern and northern outskirts of Gaza City as the military increased its presence in northern Gaza. Tens of thousands of reservists are called up to report for duty on September 2nd. Hamas is still pushing the Israeli starvation of Gaza narrative, even though tons of food are entering Gaza and being distributed by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation and other international organizations. In one of the latest photos of a starving child, Britain's Daily Mirror ran a front-page headline demanding Israel stop starving Gaza's kids with a photo of 3-year-old Karim Mama saying he was hospitalized with severe malnutrition. The IDF produced medical records showing he suffers from Fanconi-Bickel syndrome, with symptoms of gross developmental delay and no weight gain. David B. Dean of the Center for Near East Policy Research claimed there's malnutrition and suffering in Gaza, but it's not caused by Israel, and it's been around for decades. But Dean told CBN News, "This is an Arab tactic and a tactic used by the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, Hamas, and the Palestinian Authority." He added, "We've seen one tactic used very successfully, that of self-infliction of wounds, showing themselves to be suffering, but they are suffering trying to create situations of malnutrition or poor medical attention." The Israeli Defense Force announced the recovery on Friday of two hostage bodies inside Gaza. The recoveries mean there are now 48 hostages, living and deceased, still trapped inside Gaza. It comes as France, the UK, and Germany began a process on Thursday to reimpose snapback sanctions on Iran because of its nuclear violations. Hostage Ian Rees' body has been returned to Israel. The name of the other hostage has not yet been released, pending forensic examination. Rees served as the deputy head of the emergency response team in Kibbutz Be'eri and was kidnapped on October 7, 2023. As the IDF continues its assault on a Hamas stronghold in Gaza City, it announced its suspending midday tactical pauses for humanitarian aid there, calling it a dangerous combat zone. The pauses will continue in other parts of Gaza. On the international front, France, the UK, and Germany began a process on Thursday to reimpose snapback sanctions on Iran because of its nuclear violations. The sanctions take aim at an already struggling Iranian economy. The three countries accuse Iran of violating the 2015 nuclear ban. The move starts 30 days of negotiations before sanctions begin. Iran could face penalties affecting banking, travel, arms deal, and the Tehran ballistic missile program. The regime said it's ready to resume fair negotiations, but also threatened to retaliate. The Iranian deputy foreign minister stated, "We have told them if this happens, the pathway we have open with the International Atomic Energy Agency will be completely affected and will likely be stopped." The announcement dropped Iran's currency, the rial, to a near record low. Tehran's resident Amin Farahani commented, "The rising dollar rate is having a serious impact on our lives as young people. Given the current state of the job market and overall livelihoods, our hopes have taken a hit." U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio backed the move and urged Iran to resolve the issue. In Yemen, media reports indicate that an Israeli strike on Thursday killed the Houthis' prime minister. An airstrike reportedly targeted at least 10 senior Houthi ministers. The action followed weeks of ballistic missile attacks by the Houthis against Israel that sent millions of Israelis to bomb shelters. Meanwhile, U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the head of the World Food Program, Cindy McCain, concerning food distribution in Gaza. There was an honest exchange between the World Food Program and the COGAT and the IDF about what we can do together to improve delivery of food that goes to the Palestinian people, not to Hamas, Graham said. As to the idea that Israel has tried to starve the people in Gaza as a tool of war, I firmly and completely reject that. The Israeli Defense Forces announced the construction of more aid distribution centers. The IDF spokesman explained this is just a part of the humanitarian effort the IDF in Israel is doing in the Gaza Strip. Airdrops, trucks going into different parts of Gaza, and distribution centers. We have said multiple times there is no limit to the amount of aid that can go to Gaza. Israel jets struck Houthi targets in Yemen after the Iran-backed rebels fired a ballistic missile that contained cluster bombs. Prime Minister Netanyahu warned, "Whoever attacks us, we will attack them." In Gaza, the IDF troops have begun to reach the outskirts of Gaza City, the last remaining stronghold of Hamas. Despite protests from hostage families, want Israel to make a deal with a terror group. Israel is also trying to correct the record on yet another suspect media report of starvation in Gaza, releasing the medical records of a boy with a disease other than malnutrition. Middle East analyst David Bedin tells CBN News that malnutrition has been a problem in Gaza for decades, and Israel is not the cause of it. France has summoned U.S. Ambassador Charles Kushner after he wrote a letter published in the Wall Street Journal criticizing the Macron government for its lack of action against an explosion of Jewish hatred in France following the October 7th Hamas massacre in 2023. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the government is cracking down on work and travel visas for truck drivers after a deadly accident caused by an illegal immigrant. And Evangelist Ray Comfort of Living Waters Ministry tells CBN News why he believes the sinner's prayer is unbiblical. An Orthodox Jewish girl growing up in Iowa heard her dad say that Jesus was a hoax, but in her teen years, she died and said she met Jesus face to face. Now she loves him with everything in me. On the latest Jerusalem Dateline, Chris Mitchell and the crew go inside Gaza for a look at Gaza Humanitarian Foundation's aid program, which has provided more than 130 million meals. Also, Paul Pettit witnessed the arrival of more than 200 North American immigrants to Israel in the middle of wartime. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu apologized for an accidental shooting of a Nasser hospital in the Gaza Strip that killed 20 people, including 5 journalists, according to media reports. Israeli leaders said the IDF will investigate, but also pointed to Hamas's practice of using schools and hospitals at command centers to maximize harm to civilians. Middle East forum Jonathan Speier called the Hamas tactics cynical. He recalled for CNN News his personal experience in recent years talking on WhatsApp with someone inside a hospital where movement was restricted due to Hamas control of the facility. In Washington, President Trump says he hopes the war could end in 2 to 3 weeks. As U.S. adversaries move into the Caribbean region, Puerto Rico may become an increasingly important American strategic defense stronghold. President Trump is renaming the U.S. Department of Justice. It will return to its earlier name, the Department of War. In making the change, the president said, "I don't want to be defense only. I want offense, too." And a school board in Chino Valley, California, has taken bold action to lift a 10-year-old court injunction forbidding them from opening their meetings with a prayer. At a freedom march on the waterfront in Portland, Oregon, people who used to identify as LGBTQ testified that they are now followers of Jesus. And Randy Kaye now interviews people who have had near-death experiences on YouTube. But he had his own incredible experience years ago when he was clinically dead for 30 minutes. A former agnostic, he still gets emotional when he tells CBN News about his encounters with the Lord. For many people, graffiti has become a symbol of the violence, vandalism, and decay in American cities. Yet one Chicago man is redeeming graffiti as a signboard to glorify God. Is Generation Z poised to lead the nation in a spiritual awakening? At the Kennedy Center in Washington, the CBN film Revival Generation will debut with a time of worship. You can check out the film's powerful trailer. Hundreds of thousands of protesters in Tel Aviv demanded that the Netanyahu government negotiate with Hamas for the release of the hostages in Gaza. Netanyahu responded by saying Israel will not leave those monsters, Hamas, there. Israel is still investigating the IDF shelling of a hospital that left civilians dead, but the military claims six of the dead were Hamas terrorists. Meanwhile, Germany's chancellor announced that his nation will not recognize a Palestinian state in September, saying the conditions are not right for it. An abortion scandal in a large Northern Virginia school district could vault parental rights to a prominent place in this year's Virginia governor's race. And Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton has alerted the IRS that the U.S. Muslim Civil Rights Group, CAIR, C-A-I-R, should lose its tax-exempt status because of its ties to the terrorist organization. Old video clips from Chip and Joanna Gaines' Magnolia Network have resurfaced, casting new doubt on the Christian couple's stands regarding LGBTQ and transgender issues. CBN's Operation Blessing recently teamed up with Regent University students to pack food kits for the needy and relief supplies for future disaster victims. One student observed, "It's not only what God calls us to do, but it's fulfilling." An American missionary is raising an army of prayer in one of the world's most dangerous places, Africa's Sahel. U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, and former Trump advisor Jared Kushner were among those who met at the White House to discuss, among other issues, what happens in Gaza on the day after the war. The meeting comes as Israel remains poised to launch its military campaign to take down the last major Hamas stronghold in Gaza City. Foreign Minister Gideon Sayar also met in Washington with Secretary of State Marco Rubio. In New York, Israel's UN Ambassador Danny Dannon accompanied former hostage Ariana Grotzlicki, who addressed the UN Security Council, accusing the world body of hypocrisy and betrayal for questioning the truthfulness of Jewish victims and refusing to treat Hamas as a terrorist group. Grotzlicki's partner is still a hostage in Gaza. Former trans kids are warning others not to undergo transgender surgery, saying, "We need to stop telling 12-year-olds that they were born wrong." Islamist terror groups I want a murder spree against Nigerian Christians, killing, maiming, and torching homes and churches. The Nigerian government has done little to prevent the persecution of 3 million people. CBN News' Kelly Wright reports on one lawmaker's efforts to stop the genocide. An archaeologist in Jerusalem's City of David have unearthed an absolutely massive ancient structure that sheds new light into the pages of the Bible. CBN's Raj Nair is joined by Danny, the digger Herman, for the breaking details. France, the UK, and Germany are preparing to impose snapback sanctions on Iran for violation of the 2015 nuclear agreement. The sanctions affect banking, travel, arms sales, and Tehran's ballistic missile program. Iran's economy is already reeling, and after the announcement, its currency, the rial, neared an all-time low. And the UK has banned Israel from participating in a September weapons exhibition scheduled in London. Israel defense officials called it a shameful and offensive act of discrimination, one that benefits extremists. And the U.S. Air Force has decided to extend military funeral honors to deceased senior airman Ashley Babbitt, who was shot and killed by a Capitol Police officer during the January 6, 2021 riots at the Capitol. The Air Force settled a $5 million wrongful death lawsuit with Babbitt's family in July. And new findings aided by carbon dating and other methods in Jerusalem City of David near the Pool of Siloam are shedding light on a large dam which experts now believe predated King Hezekiah. The findings appear to confirm biblical accounts at the site where Jesus performed the miracle. Digital Bibles are helping fulfill the Great Commission. Missionaries are using the YouVersion Bible app to share the gospel in more native languages than ever before. There was plenty of celebration on hand at the Kennedy Center's premiere of the CBN film, The Revival Generation. But the Holy Spirit was the star, as audience members absorbed the impact of the move of God that has begun among Generation Z on college campuses. A Tennessee man tells an amazing story about his cherished Bible, filled with photos and memories, that was stolen from his car and then miraculously returned. And finally, Pastor Charles Stone, Ph.D., shares his personal journey through stress. In his book, Stressless, 9 Habits from the Bible and Brain Science to Build Resilience and Reduce Anxiety, he outlines ways that we, when guided by the Holy Spirit, can experience the joy and peace that Jesus promises on this week's Healthy Living. And this concludes our global news report brought to you by Mulberry Christian Radio. Till next time, have a blessed week.